Jai Shri Kar, Shri Shri Guru Granga, Shri Shri Gandharvika Giridhari Ju Ki Jai. Okay, we're reading today from the Madhyalila chapter 12 about the Lord's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cleansing of the Gundicha temple with his devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the Gundicha temple with his devotees and associates. In this way, he made the temple as cool and bright as his own heart, and thus he made the place befitting for Lord Sri Krishna to sit. All glories to Gaurachandra, all glories to Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jaya Jaya Gaurachandra, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Gana Shakti Deha Kari Jaina Chaitanya Varnana. All glories to the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Srivas Thakur. I beg their power so that I can properly describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, this is a prayer of the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who compiled this in Vrindavan, and whose place there we are now so fortunate to have in the name of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, his temple in Vrindavan, just across the road from our mat there, which is just next to Sri Rupa Goswami's Bhajan Kutir and Radha Damodar Temple, etc.
My body.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from his South Indian tour, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, the king of Orissa, became very anxious to meet him. The king sent a letter from his capital, Kataka, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, entreating him to obtain the Lord's permission so that he could go and see him. Replying to the king's letter, Bhattacharya wrote that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not given his permission. After this, the king wrote him another letter. In this letter, the king requested Sarvabhauma, please appeal to all the devotees associated with Sri Chaitanya and submit this petition to them on my behalf. If all the devotees associated with the Lord are favorably disposed towards me, they can submit my petition at the lotus feet of the Lord. By the mercy of all the devotees, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Without his mercy, my kingdom does not appeal to me. So indirectly, Maharaj Pratap Rudra is saying that if he does not get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he will give up his kingdom. It holds no appeal to him. If Gaur Hari, Lord Chaitanya, will not show mercy to me, I shall give up my kingdom, become a mendicant, and beg from door to door. When Bhattacharya received this letter, he became very anxious. He then took the letter and went to the devotees of the Lord. Sarvabhauma met with all the devotees and described the king's wishes. Then he presented the letter to all of them for inspection. Upon reading the letter, everyone was astonished to see that King Prataparudra had so much devotion for the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The devotees gave their opinion and said, the Lord will never meet the king, and if we requested him to do so, the Lord would surely feel very unhappy. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then said, "We shall go once again to the Lord, but we shall not request him to meet the king. Rather, we shall simply describe the good behavior of the king." Having thus reached a decision, they all went to the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There, although ready to speak, they could not even utter a word. After they arrived at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place, the Lord, seeing them, said, "What have you all come here to say? I see that you want to say something, but you do not speak. What is the reason?" Nityananda Prabhu then said, "We want to tell you something. Although we cannot stay without speaking, we are still very much afraid to speak. We want to submit before you something that may or may not be befitting. The matter is this: unless he sees you, the king of Orissa will become a mendicant." Nityananda Prabhu continued, "The king has decided to become a mendicant and accept the sign of a mendicant by wearing an ivory earring. He does not want to enjoy his kingdom without seeing the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." The king also expressed his desire to see the moon-like face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his eyes' full satisfaction. He would like to raise the lotus feet of the Lord to his heart. Hearing all these statements, Sri Chaitanya's mind was certainly softened, but externally he wished to speak some harsh words. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I can understand that you all desire to take me to Kataka to see the king. What to speak of spiritual advancement, all the people will blaspheme me. And what to speak of all the people, Damodar would chastise me," meaning Swarup Damodar. "I shall not meet the king at the request of all the devotees, but I shall do so if Damodar will give his permission." Swarup Damodar immediately replied, "My Lord, you are the fully independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since everything is known to you, you know what is permissible and what is not permissible. I am merely an insignificant jiva, so what power do I have to give direction to you? By your own personal choice, you will meet with the king. I shall see it." So Swarup Damodar understood, whatever, in spite of what Mahaprabhu was saying, Swarup Damodar understood that the Lord wanted to meet with the king, but was afraid of what Swarup Damodar would say about that. Who was often, Swarup Damodar was like in charge of Mahaprabhu's council on etiquette. So he was very careful to see that the devotees behave properly with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and sometimes if Mahaprabhu transgressed some particular detail of the etiquette of a sannyasi or something of that nature, then Swarup Damodar would make it known to the Lord. So what the public will think, the Lord was concerned that the people, if I am seen taking the audience of the king, or that in connection with Maharaj Prataparudra, then the public will blaspheme me. Oh, what is this sannyasi doing? He's trying to get some favors from the king or something, but doesn't he know the king is always tainted with the opulence, and king is associated with many worldly things in connection with operating and maintaining his kingdom. So this is a bad position for a sannyasi to be in connection with these things, one who has renounced the world and the luxuries and so forth. So Mahaprabhu was afraid that the People will blaspheme him, and he is also makes this point. And what of my spiritual advancement? I will lose that if I accept this proposal. And finally, and Sarup Damodar, he will chastise me. So nothing to gain, all to lose. Doesn't look like a very good proposition. But in spite of all of this, Sarup Damodar understood that really Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was agreeable if it could only be arranged properly. And Sarup Damodar tells the Lord, "You are the fully independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tumi Svatantra Ishvara." Svatantra means fully independent. Ishvara, the Supreme Person, Supreme Controller. So what is permissible? Kartavya. Kartavya, akartavya. What is permissible and what is not permissible? Actually, only you know that. Hearing Srila Sridhar Maharaj mention the other day, something about this. What was it? Memory's gotten so bad that anyway, one of the first verses of the Bhagavatam. Don't remember the Sanskrit. But only the Lord knows His own purpose. He knows the purpose of everything, and no one else knows. Unless the Lord reveals His purpose, no one else can understand. No one else can know. So the Lord knows the purpose for everything is abhigyasvarat. I can't remember it. But only the Lord knows the purpose of everything. No one else can know. He is independent. He is not dependent upon anyone. And only He knows His own purpose. Everything is operating because of His purpose. Yeah, and He can change it whimsically, as Guru Maharaj said to Achyutananda, "You must follow what I say, whether it is whimsical or whamsical." So that's who is independent. That's His position. So, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is independent. Kartavya, akartavya. Only He knows what is permissible and what is impermissible. And what is permissible at one moment, He can decide and it's impermissible, not permissible. And what is not permissible, to meet with the king, He can decide, no, it's permissible. In this circumstance, it's permitted. To show mercy to the king, it's permissible. So, Sarup Damodar is pointing out, everything is known to you. You know what is permissible and what is not permissible. No one else actually can know, unless the Lord reveals it to him. Sarup Damodar goes on to say, I am merely an insignificant jiva, so what power do I have to give directions to you? And of course, this was what Mahaprabhu, his intention was by making this comment that, oh, what if Damodar will chastise me, because Damodar had done that in the past. So Mahaprabhu is taking this opportunity to give a little jab to Swarup Damodar. Well, you are chastising me, Swarup Damodar? And Swarup Damodar, quick to catch on, actually, no, I have no position to do that. I am an insignificant jiva. Only you know what is permissible and not permissible. By your own personal choice, you will meet with the king. I shall see to it. So, Swarup Damodar understood the mind of Mahaprabhu, that he wanted to meet with Maharaj Prataparudra, and offered to Mahaprabhu, if you want to do that, I will arrange it. The king is very much attached to you, and you are feeling affection and love toward him. Thus I can understand that by virtue of the king's affection for you, you will touch him. Although you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are completely independent, still you are dependent on the love and affection of your devotees. That is your nature. Nityananda Prabhu then said, who is there in the three worlds who can ask you to see the king? Still, isn't it the nature of an attached man to give up his life if he does not attain his desired object? For instance, some of the wives of the Brahmins who were performing sacrifices gave up their lives in the presence of their husbands for the sake of Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu then submitted one suggestion for the Lord's consideration. He suggested, there is a way by which you need not meet the king, but which would enable the king to continue living. I want to point out something. When Sri Nityananda Prabhu says Yagika Brahmani Sabha Tahate Pramana Krishna Lagi Patti Age Chadileka Prana, he is the translation. For instance, some of the wives of the Brahmins who were performing sacrifices gave up their lives in the presence of their husbands for the sake of Krishna. Now, he's saying this in Bengali, and he's not quoting the Sanskrit from the Bhagavatam, but he's, in his own words in Bengali, he's making this point. Of course, this is based on the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of the wives who neglected the instructions of their husbands who were performing yajnas in order to serve Krishna. So I just wanted to point out that it is permissible to make reference to the Shastras without necessarily having to quote them verbatim in the original Sanskrit or Bengali text or some other, primarily Sanskrit and Bengali. Nityananda Prabhu submitted that there is a way, so even Swarup Damodar didn't object to Nityananda Prabhu not quoting directly the Sanskrit from the story of the wives of the Brahmins. The Yagya Patti, Putties. If you, Nityananda Prabhu continues, if you out of your mercy send one of your outward garments to the king would live hoping to see you sometime in the future.
If you bring an outward garment to the king, what was that?
The king would continue living, hoping to see you sometime in the future. Mahaprabhu replies, since you are all very learned personalities, whatever you decide, I shall accept. Lord Nityananda Prabhu then obtained an external garment used by the Lord by requesting it from Govinda, who was his servant. Thus Nityananda Prabhu, the servant of Mahaprabhu, thus Nityananda Prabhu delivered the old cloth to the care of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sent it to the king. And well, we are also following that. Devotees will see here that we are worshipping the cloth that was used by Srila Govinda Maharaj, considering it. Well, we'll read here. When the king received the old cloth, he began to worship it exactly as he would worship the Lord personally. Now we consider the garments, the paraphernalia of the Lord and his devotees, that they are represented there in these objects, and they are worshipable by us. Just as they are worshipable themselves, their paraphernalia is also worshipable. After returning from his service in South India, Ramananda Rai requested the king to allow him to remain with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Ramananda Rai was serving under the direction of Maharaj Prataparudra. And when Ramananda Rai returned from South India, then he asked Maharaj Prataparudra if he could remain with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Ramananda Rai requested the king to allow him to stay with the Lord, king immediately gave him permission with great satisfaction. As for the king himself, he began to solicit Ramananda Rai to make a meeting arrangement. So, another opportunity for the king to use his inside man, Ramananda Rai, to try and make an arrangement with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to meet with the king. The king told Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very merciful to you. Therefore, please solicit my meeting with him without fail. The king and Ramananda Rai returned together to Jagannath Kshetra, Puri, and Sri Ramananda Rai met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, Ramananda Rai informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the ecstatic love of the king. Indeed, as soon as there was some opportunity, he repeatedly informed the Lord about the king. Sri Ramananda Rai was indeed a diplomatic minister for the king. His general behavior was very expert, and simply by describing the king's love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gradually softened the Lord's mind. Maharaj Prataparudra, in great anxiety, could not endure not seeing the Lord. Therefore, Ramananda Rai, by his diplomacy, arranged a meeting with the Lord for the king. Ramananda Rai frankly requested Mahaprabhu, please show your lotus feet to the king at least once. Mahaprabhu replied, my dear Ramananda, you should make this request after duly considering whether it is befitting for a sannyasi to meet a king. If a mendicant meets a king, this world and the next world are both destroyed for the mendicant. Indeed, what is there to say of the next world? In this world, people will joke if a sannyasi meets a king. Ramananda replied, "My Lord, you are the Supreme Independent Personality. You have nothing to fear from anyone because you are not dependent on anyone." When Ramananda addressed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu objected, saying, "I am not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary human being. Therefore, I must fear public opinion in three ways, with my body, mind, and words. As soon as the general public finds a little fault in the behavior of a sannyasi, they advertise it like wildfire. A black spot of ink cannot be hidden on a white cloth. It is always very prominent." Ramananda Roy replied, "My dear Lord, you have delivered so many sinful people. This king, Prataparudra, the king of Orissa, is actually a servitor of the Lord and your devotee." Mahaprabhu then said, "There may be much milk in a big pot, but if it is contaminated by a drop of liquor, it is untouchable. The king certainly possesses all good qualities, but simply by taking up the name king, he has infected everything. But if you are still very eager for the king to meet with me, please first bring his son to meet me. It is indicated in the revealed scriptures that the son represents the father. Therefore, the son's meeting with me would be just as good as the king's meeting with me." So, but apparently only good in one direction. Good enough for the king, but without violating the stricture that the sannyasi not meet with the king. So, in other words, the son, in Mahaprabhu's mind, this should be good enough for the king. The king should be satisfied by this, because the son is his representative. But I will not be disturbed meeting with the representative of the king. So, not exactly. There's a little kind of duplicitousness here. Meeting with the king, not meeting with the king at the same time. Mahaprabhu is saying, "I cannot meet with the king. My name will be destroyed if I do that. But the son is none different from the king, so the king will be satisfied if I meet with his son. But he's non-different, but he's different enough that my meeting with him will have no, cannot be seen as improper by anyone." So, many things happen like this. Stool is untouchable. Cow stool is purifying. Bone is untouchable. The conch shell, which is made of bone, is used in the worship service of the Lord. So,
what was the first one you said?
Stool.
Is untouchable, yet cow dung is touchable.
Purifying.
Purified. Bone is untouchable and conch.
So, once again, how do we know what is what? The Lord knows. What the Lord says is permissible is permissible. So it's impermissible to touch bone. It's permissible to touch bone in the shape of a conch shell, which is used for worshiping the Lord. So, the Lord, and his representatives, they can also know what is permissible and what is not permissible. In the purport, Prabhupada discusses the point a little bit. In the Bhagavatam 10th chapter, 78th verse, 78th 10th canto, 78th chapter, 36th verse, it is said, Atma vai putra utpana iti vedanushasanam. Vedanushasanam. The Vedas enjoin that one is born as his own son. One who has a son, a father who has a son, the father is born again as his son. The son is non-different from the father. The son, the next sentence, the son is non-different from the father. And this is admitted in every revealed scripture. In Christian theology, it is believed that Christ, the Son of God, is also God. Both of them are identical. Well, we don't accept Christian theology, except when it supports our theology. So this is such is life. Prabhupada quoting some Christian theology to support our theology. So the Vedas enjoin that one is born as his own son. The son is not different from the father. But Mahaprabhu said, I cannot meet with the king. But who is non-different from the king? He's willing to meet with him. So he must be different in some way. And yet non-different. Different and non-different simultaneously. We have a phrase for that. Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. So Ramananda then went to inform the king about his talks with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And following the Lord's orders, brought the king's son to see him, to see Mahaprabhu. The prince, just entering upon his youth, was very beautiful. He was blackish in complexion and had large lotus eyes. The prince was dressed in yellow cloth, and there were jeweled ornaments decorating his body. Therefore, anyone who saw him would remember Lord Krishna. Seeing the boy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately remembered Krishna. Meeting the boy in ecstatic love, the Lord began to speak. Here is a great devotee, Mahaprabhu said. Upon seeing him, everyone can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda. I have become very much obligated just by seeing this boy. After saying this, the Lord again embraced the prince. As soon as the prince was touched by Lord Chaitanya, symptoms of ecstatic love immediately manifested themselves in his body. These symptoms included perspiration, trembling, tears, being stunned, and jubilation. These symptoms appeared in the body of the prince. The boy began to cry and dance, and he chanted, Krishna, Krishna. Upon seeing his bodily symptoms and his chanting and dancing, all the devotees praised him for his great spiritual fortune. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calmed the youth and ordered him to come there daily to meet him. They then departed from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Ramananda Roy took the boy back to the king's palace. The king was very happy when he heard of his son's activities. Just by embracing his son, the king was filled with ecstatic love, just as if he had touched Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. Since then, the fortunate prince was one of the most intimate devotees of the Lord. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acts in the society of his pure devotees, performing his pastimes and spreading the Sankirtan movement. Okay, we'll stop there today and we'll read some more.
Tomorrow.
From the chapter, clean cleansing of the Gundicha temple.
Cleansing of the Gundicha temple.
Jai Sparikar Sri Sri Guru Granga Sri Sri Gandharvika Girid Hari Ju Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai
Jai
Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Srila Bhakti Sundara Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai
Jai
Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Sri Bhakti Rakak Shira Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Jai
Shri Prema Dama Deva Stotram Ki Jai. Jai Shri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai.
Jai.
Nittai Gaur Premanande Haribol. Gaur Haribol.